The 40 for 80 podcast is presented by Georgia Farm Bureau, always the home team. Now, here's your host, Jeff Dantzler.
Hello and welcome to 40 for 80, the Swedish season, episode 11 in our Chronicles of Georgia's magical 12-0 run to the 1980 National Championship. Today, we revisit the Bulldogs' 38-20 victory over Tech at Sanford Stadium, which put the finishing touches on top-ranked Georgia's perfect regular season. Our very special guest today, one of the best ever play in the trenches for the Bulldogs, center out of Thomaston, GA, number 54, Hugh Nall, and out of Columbus. He came up with two turnovers against the Jackets, the outstanding cornerback, number 9, Dale Williams. I'm your host, Jeff Dantzler. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for joining us today. The stakes, Hugh, we'll start with you. Tech had proven with that tie against Notre Dame that they were dangerous. And, of course, there's a familiarity, the rivalry. So we're 10-0, and they are 1-8-1. But this is really one of those, as they say, Coach, you just got to throw the record books out the window.
There's no doubt. You know, when you play a game like that against a team that had really helped us out when they tied Notre Dame, but, you know, you would make their season if they can beat you. And, of course, the pressure of an in-state rival, but more than anything, the pressure of being undefeated and making sure you don't want to mess it up with a loss to anybody, but especially Georgia Tech. As Coach Russell used to say, there's nothing like hating those yellow britches, you know.
And Hugh, with that, going into the game, obviously there was a tremendous amount of pressure, but you had gotten so far. The senior leadership was so incredible. What's the mindset of the team going into this game?
Well, you know, Jeff, as we had talked about earlier this year, that was just such an amazing group of players, not just a senior group, but everybody involved. There was such a chemistry. And when you have the chemistry like that, there was just a will to win and a refuse to lose mentality. And we look forward to every game every week and believe we were going to win them. And certainly going into this one, we felt that way.
Dale, what was the confidence level from your standpoint heading into the game against Tech?
Well, you know, our biggest thing and one of the things I look back on for is our defensive side, on the defensive side of the ball, that we were always well prepared. And from Coach Ert all the way down to Bill Lewis, I mean, we were always prepared. We knew that we had an opportunity to do some things, to make some big plays. We knew we were going to blitz these guys. We were going to get after them. And I think the quarterback back then was Mike Kelly. And Bill Lewis always made it a point to make sure that we were over-prepared in some areas, but really we felt good going into the game. And, you know, one thing about Coach Russell and Bill Lewis, they were going to make some adjustments during the game that would be able to shift toward the takedown.
You mentioned Mike Kelly. He was certainly an outstanding quarterback. And Dale, again, as Hugh and I just said, you know, with Tech, they weren't having a very good season. But did the fact that they had tied Notre Dame when Notre Dame was number one, was that a little of an extra wake-up call for the team?
Exactly. We knew that Georgia Tech would probably throw everything they had at us, you know, being a rival game. And we knew that we had to be prepared. We didn't look at their record. We didn't, you know, even the Notre Dame piece kind of opened our eyes that they tied Notre Dame. I'm like, hey, these guys coming down here to think that they really can beat us. So we were just prepared. And, you know, we had some big plays on both sides of the ball, but we was always prepared during our national championship year. And I think that was one of the biggest things about it. You know, Hugh mentioned some of the other pieces that I think really are just for us underrated. The leadership piece, the senior leadership piece was always big. And really we had a good crop of freshmen to come in just to enhance what we already had. And I think that made, you know, it made it an easy game. And, you know, we knew what we had to do against Georgia Tech. And we had came too far to lose against Georgia Tech. You know, that was not even in our minds. But we were ready to play.
Well, amen to that. And Hugh, for you, I know this was extra special. Yeah, we talked about it, and all of your teammates talked about what it meant after you had gotten injured for Coach Dooley to take you up to Kentucky. This is your first game back since the injury and the chance to go 11-0 against Tech. I know you had to be, as the old saying goes, and I can hear Coach Russell saying it right now, just chomping at the bit to get back out between the hedges.
Jeff, you're so right. You know, anytime you miss games and you want to be out there, you want to try to help do your part. And as we talked about earlier this year, and you just mentioned, I really appreciated Coach Dooley taking me not only to Kentucky, but to every game after that. And, you know, and until I did come back to play against Georgia Tech. When I came back, I rotated the guard with Tim Morrison, which set the chemistry with the center by then with Joe Happy and I think Wayne was in there some too, Radloff. And, you know, we had it rocking and rolling, and I was proud to be a part of it, standing on the sidelines, and I was certainly excited to be back playing, and especially in a game like that. And there was so much there, and I'm sure you'll talk about the tracks and the final game, you know, in front of them. And it just was an exciting atmosphere. And you're right, I was ready to get back and try to do my help.
It was an unbelievable scene, and we'll definitely get to the tracks. Dale, for you, this certainly goes down as one of your greatest games at Georgia. And in just a moment, we'll get into the details of the game just a bit. But for you, on the second play of the second quarter, to come up with a fumble, we're winning 10-0 at that time. Captain Frank Ross had popped it out. And then on what was essentially the end of the first half, at the end of the second quarter, we're up 17-0. Mike Kelly, their terrific quarterbacks, throwing for the end zone. You get the interception and bring it back out 18 yards. So for you, the game, the quarter, what are your best memories of that game, obviously, but most specifically the two turnovers in that second quarter, which I know holds a very special place in your heart?
Well, you know, during that game, I guess was my biggest memory were both, like you said, the turnovers, because really, you know, as far as Tech is concerned, you know, it was always not really a lot of the emphasis put on as far as the superlatives after that game, because really is always the last game of the year. So, you know, you might not be able to be on any kind of platform to talk about being the player of the game or the defensive player of the game. So that stands out with me. But one of the biggest things that I liked about it is that, you know, it goes back to preparation. And one thing that we were always taught, you know, for is having pursuit drills, running to the ball, seeing the football, gang tackling, all those things. And if you did those things, Coach Russell almost guaranteed you that something good was going to happen if you ran and you stayed around football.
Guys, let's talk about the special teams for just a moment. I mean, as always, it was enormous. And in this game, Rex hits a Herculean 57-yard field goal. His kickoff then hit the crossbar, which was really awesome. Mark Malkiewicz, when we're up 10-0, punts him down on the 1-yard line. And then when Tech scored in the third quarter to make it 17-7, Scott Werner had a 71-yard kickoff return that set up Herschel's second touchdown, which came on the next play there to put us up 24-7. So this was another one of those games, and Dale, I'll keep it with you on this one, where it really is a beautiful thing when your offense, your defense, and your special teams all play into one another.
Oh, yeah. We were always trained on, you know, we worked hard on the special team piece. And, you know, with Warner back there, one good thing about Scott Warner, he could catch the ball very well. He caught punts. He probably could catch punts in his sleep. And we knew that he caught the punt, made a clean catch on the punt, and got to the wall. We had a wedge that was in front of him always. Scott was going to make something happen. He was going to make that first man miss. You know, when you get, you know, you block everybody – could do their assignments on special team on the punt return, we knew Scott was going to have a big play, and he made plenty of big plays on the punt return just because he's good and just because we were prepared to make sure that, you know, that was an extra play for us. You know, you get a bunch of stars on your helmet, too, when you're on the punt return team also.
And Hugh, kind of going back to Scott's kickoff return there, the 71-yarder. You know, Tech makes it 17-7. It's probably starting to get a little nervy there, but all of a sudden, Werner pops that long one. Next play, there goes Herschel for the touchdown. What a lift those huge plays on special teams gave us throughout the year, but certainly in the win over Tech.
Oh, yeah, big time. Those were big time. I mean, Scott he was the punt return guy. You know, I mean, really, he made big plays. And actually, the punt return used to kind of fire Scott up to play better on defense.
Hugh, how about Scott on that big return that set up Herschel's second touchdown there? I mean, it was some kind of burst, and we needed a little lift at that point, Hugh.
Yeah, I think, you know, I talked to Scott this week. You know, we were discussing back on things, and I remembered right before that on that touchdown that Tech had, somehow in the end zone, one of their big offensive linemen grabbed Scott and put him into like a bear hug and started jumping up and down with him in the celebration of the touchdown. And I remember Scott trying to get away from the guy, and it almost started a fight. But what it really did, and right after that, when he returned that kickoff, that the guy made a bad mistake when he ticked Scott off like that. And, you know, as great a returner as he was, that added motivation was, you know, made it even more special. But just overall with this talk about special teams, you know, Jeff, that year, you know, once again, as I've said in the earlier broadcast, you know, to me, the defense was always the MVP. The special teams were next. And as an offense, we just tried to do a good job of not putting our defense in a bad situation. And as long as you reserve the right to punt and the great punter we had, and then, of course, get you anywhere near, you know, you get past the 50, a first down past the 50, and Rex was a threat. And so, you know, I look at it as we did a good job of protecting our defense and giving our special teams a chance to show off like they did all year.
Yeah, Hugh, another big key in this game, once we got the lead 17-0, now Tech didn't go away. They make it 17-7. Then we go up 24-7. Now they make it 24-14. We go up 31-14. They make it 31-20. And then Herschel breaks a long run. We go up 38-20. In that second half, when they scored touchdowns, Hugh, we were able to answer, and that was so big to keep that lead at double digits at all time.
You're right. I mean, there's no doubt that when you got a defense like we had, you know, as long as we could keep those points up there in front of, we knew we were going to have a great chance to win. And like I said, they were going to have a hard time. Because not only that, but one of the great things about our defense, they would bend but not break so often, you know, and then you get the turnovers like Dale had, and they'll even have back early on, right before their first touchdown. I think he had a touchdown saving tackle, if I remember it right, over in the left end zone or left sideline. You know, Dale, I don't know if you remember that or not, but that guy was going. He was gone, and you saved him from going in. But no, there's no doubt that you know, that was a defensive year. You know, and they were going to keep those points down, and once we got that lead, the victory was in sight.
Yeah, Dale, you were talking about with Coach Russell just flying around the football, and the play that Hugh's talking about there, that they're back. I mean, when you get a fumble early in the second quarter, it looked like he had a chance to score, but there you go, and here comes Frank Ross across just hustling, and he's able to knock that football loose, and you're able to come up with it. I guess in many ways, that play in itself kind of personified what Coach Russell always preached, and just hustling and fighting, and good things are going to happen.
You know, that's what he always preached. Even doing the pursuit drills, even doing practice, you were taught to get to the football. I mean, we were trying to get 11 guys on the ball, 11 hats on the man, just getting to the football. And like I said, you know, as far as making sure if something happened, like Frank, you know, causes the fumble, somebody's going to be around there from Georgia to recover it. And that's what we, you know, we were trained to do that. That's how we played. It's funny that, you know, even when I watch Georgia and they have a great defense this year, to see the guys getting around the football. And that's one of the things that's a tradition. That junkyard dog tradition is a traditional. You know, if you look back on any of our 1980 films or even before then, it was multiple guys on the tackle. And that's what, you know, the game tackling piece, that's something that's traditional, and that's one of the things that we worked on all the time on defense.
Hugh, we were tremendous on fourth down in this game. We hit three huge ones, hit a big play after we had fumbled and gotten on it. So we're sitting there on their 20, but you know, 19 to go. We hit a big play to Lindsey. Then Herschel gets a first down. Then Herschel scores the touchdown. The second TD we got in the game, Buck threw to Ronnie Stewart for a touchdown. That was on fourth down. And then to set up our third touchdown, we had a fourth and one on the 20, and Herschel ran it down to the one-yard line. So, you know, if, those are three huge fourth downs, and we got them all to set up two touchdowns and to score one. Now, as an offensive lineman, I would think it's got to give you a lot of extra juice when you've just got a yard to go and Coach Dooley says, man, we're going for it, we're getting it, and we got them on this day.
You're right. It gives your team a lot of confidence, especially offensive line. When you go for it on fourth down, that's a big deal. And when you do make it, you know, crushes the other team you're up against, especially if you do it three times. But the beauty of that, as far as the offensive line, Coach Dooley knew that McDuffie would kill us if we didn't make it. So, you know, he probably felt pretty confident when he made those decisions.
Oh, I can tell you, Coach McDuffie had come back to Georgia in 1991 as the offensive coordinator and the offensive line coach. That was my freshman year working for the great Claude Felton. And I can tell you, I was just a lowly sports information student intern. Hugh, I was incredibly frightened of the man.
Well, he was for good reason. I tell you what, though, he was and, you know, I'll never forget when I got hurt. And a lot of, matter of fact, Tim Marshall said, I don't believe he wrote that. I showed Tim a 2-page handwritten letter that Wayne McDuffie had given me after I got hurt. You know, I guess he was thinking I wouldn't be back for the year and just thanking me for what I had done and the way I played. And, you know, it was handwritten. Coming from a guy like that, it really showed me, you know, who he was on the inside. But the outside, yeah, he was rough and tough and demanded a lot, but if you went along with what he did, and he truly loved you, and he made a big difference on that football team, in my opinion.
Dale, for you as a defensive back, the combination of Irk Russell and Bill Lewis was really something special, wasn't it?
Oh, that was real. That was real special. You know, both of them. Coach Lewis, you know, we used to always joke that my legs were bigger than his legs, and he was a little bitty guy. But we would always go back and forth, me, Mike Fisher, Bale, Scott. I mean, really, for the intensity of Coach Lewis and preparing you for the game, I think really he was very underrated in that respect because we were definitely prepared. We were going to be the most prepared unit on the field, and we were going to be the most conditioned unit on the field. I think really with the combination of Coach Russell, his smarts and his wits, you know, by the time, you know, somebody that had some success against us, there's a couple more series or one more series, Coach Russell was going to make the adjustments or Coach Lewis was going to make the adjustment to stop the other team's offense. And that's one of the biggest things that they did for us and really for the intensity piece. I mean, if you weren't intense and passionate, you couldn't play on defense. And I think really that really is just a sign of a real University of Georgia defense is to have that passion and that intensity and people flying around and getting around football.
And Dale, talking about that defense, our defensive line was just incredible with Meek Cleaver Weaver and Pat McShay and Jimmy Payne and Freddie Gilbert and Robert Miles and Tim Crow and Joe Cremins and Dale Carver. And I'm going to leave a lot of guys out. In this game against Tech, Frank Ross and Nate Taylor both had 6-7 tackles. And you talk about a physical game. Jeff Hipp and Chris Welton, Dale, in this game combined for 16 tackles from safety and Rover, and that is a physical, hard-hitting job there.
Oh, we had a great defense. You know, you were running off all those names, you from Weldon to Hipp. Hipp was a great safety. I think Hipp made me a good corner because you always knew that Jeff was going to be in the right place, and if you made a mistake at corner or you were not on your assignment, he was going to cover you up and make sure that things happen. Chris was a great blitzer. I think really when I think about our defensive line during that time, they might have been small compared to today's standard. Like Weaver was like what? Wasn't 6 feet. He always said he was 6'1", but he wasn't 6 feet, about 250, 260 pounds. That's considered small today. But Coach Russell had a way of scheming these guys, and they were blitzing, C stunt, blood stunt, all these stunts, they were like moving targets. If you were going to block them, you better catch them before they start moving, because really we did a lot of things that really to create havoc on the other team's offense, and that made us have a great defense. And one of the best things that I hear when I do hear Herschel Walker speak, the best thing that comes out of his mouth is that I didn't play defense. And I think really that is really a tribute to our national championship team, was the defensive side of the ball.
Hugh, I would not have wanted to be the person to volunteer to tell Meek Cleaver Weaver that he's not as tall as he said he was.
Back in our day, Dale certainly knows this, we practiced every day like it was a game. I mean, it was none of this thud stuff or whatever. And so I got to know Eddie really well because I blocked him a lot. And almost every play, Eddie and I would end up in a fight. And I would always make sure the fight happened near a huddle so they break that thing up real quick. I knew I wasn't going to win that fight. I'd get a lick in it, too.
Yeah, we had talked before. We had a tremendous offensive line, a tremendous defensive line. And that was just a great example, wasn't it, Hugh, of just iron sharpening iron, you guys going up against each other every day.
There's no doubt. I mean, it was full speed, and I mean, you tap blocked, you gut blocked, whatever. And that certainly made us better blocking people like Eddie and Joe. That just made you better every day when you had to do it full speed and do it the way it's supposed to, especially on Tuesdays. You know, back nowadays they film anything and everything. But back then you only filmed Tuesdays, and that big eye in the sky, when it came around, it was you better perform and perform well, because that might depend on who started that week or the game plan might change too. Tuesdays were a big.
All right. We will continue on. It is 40 for 80, the sweetest season. Two of Georgia's great players for that national championship team, Hugh Nall and Dale Williams, right here on the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network.
From the farmer's field that produces your food to the football field where your home team plays, Georgia Farm Bureau is committed to helping Georgia communities thrive. Georgia Farm Bureau provides peace of mind to families through home, auto, and life insurance with affordable coverage and fast claim services. By insuring with Georgia Farm Bureau, you're making an investment in Georgia agriculture, Georgia farmers, and Georgia families. With more than 150 offices in the state, Georgia Farm Bureau is always the home team.
Welcome back to 40 for 80, the sweetest season. Our special guest today, number 54, Hugh Nall, and number 9, Dale Williams. Hugh, let's go back to you here. As you mentioned, it was the final game for the track. Some of the construction had begun, but they were going to start bowling in the east end of the stadium that next day. Coach Russell had a tremendous relationship with those fans on the track, so there was nothing like them there. And the mob scene in the fourth quarter when Herschel scored the touchdown, the number of people on the field in that end zone on the sidelines, it was absolutely incredible. Can you describe what those fans on the tracks meant and what that scene was like?
Well, you know, I can remember the first time my freshman year, you know, we used to ride the buses, you know, from the Coliseum down to the stadium, you know, and you could hear the tracks roar. Know a half a mile away before you got there, they'd hear the sirens coming, and that's just one of the greatest thrills ever. I'll be honest with you, I remember that like it was yesterday, my freshman year. But we came over that hill for the Georgia Tech game. It was unbelievable how many people were on the track to celebrate the last time it would ever be done. And of course, we had Coach Russell had T-shirts. We had T-shirts made up, and each player signed the T-shirts and put a message on there, and then we had them wrapped in rubber bands. And so when you came off the bus, you threw them into the crowd, and that was a great idea for Coach Russell to come up with that and to want to pay tribute to the tracks. And once again, it'd be pretty neat to know who called Herschel's one if they still got it, you know. But it was great thrill, and I mean, there was just nothing like it, you know, to have that kind of, you know, support right there, you know, before 2 hours before game time, you know.
Dale, I know you remember that scene as well. What a scene it was with everybody from the tracks coming down. And again, when Herschel scored the last touchdown to break the freshman rushing record, Tony Dorsett's mark, and to to put the game, to put victory within our hands. That was a scene unlike any other between the hedges.
You know, every time that we played at Sanford Stadium with the track was going, it was an extra motivation to play hard, because, you know, these fans were not the richest fans, but they were the real dog fans that wanted to see the game by any means necessary. Whatever they had to do, they were going to be at the game. But really, just for their intensity, and when they would see Coach Russell coming out, man, oh, man, it was lit then. So, you know, for us, just being that atmosphere, and really, over the years, and I know we can go back and forth, you know, even it's been 40 years ago, that same intensity does not exist at Sanford Stadium right now. I mean, all the fine and wine and dining, they got all these sky boxes and all these things, but that track piece was enough for us, and it gave us an opportunity to see how intense and passionate our fan base really was.
Hugh, let's go to that fourth quarter and what really set up the penultimate moment there. Tech had scored again to make it 31-20. They miss the extra point. Herschel runs a kickoff back out to our 35. It's 31-20. We got the ball, and there goes Herschel running right, cuts back left. And it goes all the way. And that was certainly the knockout blow. And in the process of scoring the touchdown, you guys probably didn't know this at the time, he breaks Tony Dorsett's freshman rushing record. And that was when you just had so many people coming out on the field there. As a fan, I've got to think that had to be one of the most unbelievable moments. And listening a million times to the Larry Munson 1980 highlight tapes, he said, and one of our linemen, Jim Blakewood, just on both knees, just shaking his fist at the heavens, just that feeling of achievement when Herschel did that and put the game away. It's just incredible, Hugh, when you talk about a culmination of your career in that regular season.
No, you're right. That was, needless to say, not only a put the nail in the coffin for the win, but it setting a record like that was really special. And I was lucky enough to be in on that play, and lucky enough to be in the picture that made the rounds of Herschel running to score, you know, and I was in the background there, and I've got a big copy of that, a big print of that in my house, and people always look at it, and I said, yeah, if Herschel had tripped and fell, I would have caught him. But anyway, it was a special, special play, special day, and of course, being around him, as Dale had mentioned, that freshman class just put the icing on the cake of a bunch of great folks that had been there, as we talked about earlier this year, good, the bad, and the ugly, and then the best it ever was. And that play kind of, that just really, really showed what it's all about.
Yeah, I think one thing, too, that says so much about this team and about Herschel, that run actually gave him 199 yards on the day. When we got the ball back, he had one more carry, and he got 6 yards to get to 205. Herschel obviously had no idea how many yards he had, and he would not have cared, never cared about records or anything, but at the same time, I know Coach Dooley wanted to get him 200 for the fourth time, which is just amazing. To me, that's just one of those things, and after he got over 200, he came out of the game. To me, that just says so much about Herschel, about Coach Dooley, and about the whole team.
No, there's no doubt. To see him rush like that all year long, and of course, as offensive linemen, we would, McDuffie, you know, we'd have that goal of making sure we had a 100-yard rusher plus, you know, each week. But he was, in my opinion, never been one like him, never will be. There's been a lot of comparisons of him to other people, but in my book, there's, and I've seen some really good running backs in my time, but I've never seen one like him.
Dale, when Herschel would break one of those patented long runs and you're running back out on defense, obviously you're not on the field, the other team's offense isn't out on the field, but when he has one of those long back-breaking runs, could you sometimes sense the opponent's offense? It had some of the wind taken out of their sails?
You know, most of them, it would. That big play, that explosive play would kind of, like you said, put a nail in the coffin. But one of the biggest things that we were trained to do also on defense is get off the field on three downs. Third down was like, Irk would always say, just one more time. Just getting off the field on third down so our offense can come back on the field and score some more points. Just those traditional things, those were routine things for us to do, was to get off the field on third down. And, you know, like I said, to get the ball back to Herschel, you know, those explosive plays, getting the ball into the hands of the offense. Because really, we on defense, we just always said that if the other team didn't score, we couldn't lose. So we were trying to, you know, if you look back on that, our national championship season, we had a few shutouts where people didn't score any points on us. And I think really that gets underrated a lot of times, where really for the defense concerned, we played real good defense that year. We had a great combination on offense. The Herschel piece, of course, was big. You know, Buck to Lindsey, you know, in the Jacksonville game, that was big also. But we were just trained on defense, man, that we didn't want you to score, period. We wanted turnovers, but we didn't want you to score.
Three shutouts that season against Texas A&M, Vanderbilt, and the Kentucky Wildcats. Held TCU to 3, South Carolina to 10, and Notre Dame to 10. I mean, that is incredible. I guess just kind of jogging through my memory, I guess the most points we gave up all year was 21 to Florida and Auburn. That's a pretty incredible accomplishment, Dale.
Yeah, that was big. I mean, and even, you know, for the Auburn piece, we, you know, I remember my sophomore year, and I think it was Hughes' junior year, that Auburn came to Athens and put it on us. I mean, Brooks and Creels probably had 200 yards apiece. And we remember that from that standpoint, but for us on the defensive side of the ball, we didn't want, you know, Coach Russell used to tell us this, if you hold a team under 21 points, we should win. He would tell us, and we were like, we'll be looking in the team. They're like, 21 points. That's too many points. But he said, three scores. If the team doesn't have three scores, you should win. And we believed in that. Anything Eric told us, we believe. You know that, right?
Oh, amen to that. But Ole Miss also got 21, but they had a pick six in that game as well. And Hugh, you know, another part of this, and again, I get it, you're playing, this stuff's probably not going through your mind. Not only when we get this win, do we go 11-0? Obviously, in the process, we've just beaten South Carolina's best team ever, and we've just run the table against Florida, Auburn, and Tech to win the SEC championship, the state championship, and we do it in the last game on the tracks there. This felt like just a culmination, a coronation. Obviously, no one, there was that one more step, but the great thing back in those days, you beat Tech to end an incredible season. You did get a chance to soak it in a little bit.
No, that's right. Once that was done, you get that feeling of what you have accomplished. And it's so hard to go undefeated. I mean, I was lucky to do that one time in my coaching career. And of course, this 1980 season, and it's just almost impossible to do. And once that happens, and you know, you get a little break before the getting ready for the bowl game. Of course, I think that's when the Coach Dooley issue started with the Auburn deal, you know, after the Tech game. And and the chemistry that had been built, I remember Scott Warner and I were hunting together when that word came out. And I remember he and I looking at each other and going, you know, if that's what's best for Coach Dooley, we wish him the best. But it wasn't going to have an effect on that football team and going to New Orleans. And I think Dale can attest to that. We had that chemistry built, and we were going to make it happen one way or another. And thank goodness he didn't go, and he stayed and led us down there for the victory there.
Was that also, Dale, before we get to that, that there also had to be a part that obviously glad he stayed, but had he left, you knew Coach Russell was right there to take over.
You know, man, I had this conversation several times since we played football. We, you know, be honest with you, you know, if Coach would have chose to go to Auburn, we would have been fine with it because we knew that Coach Russell would probably be the coach. And, you know, Hugh can tell you this, Coach Russell coached everybody. He wasn't just the defensive line coach and the defensive coordinator. He was like the coach. Coach Russell used to be the first guy to speak to the team game day. And, I mean, really, after Coach get through talking to him, hey, we're ready to ball right then. But I think, really, we wouldn't have had a problem with it, but it just, the history of Georgia football would have changed tremendously if Coach Russell could have ever been the head coach of the University of Georgia. I mean, we would probably have more national championships than we do now.
I would agree with that wholeheartedly. And you know, obviously what he did, he and you were a part of building that at Georgia Southern. I've always said this was a man who could have been known as widely in college football circles as Newt Brockney and Bear Bryant, Irk Russell.
He was the man. And you know, and the other thing for this national championship team, Jeff, I would like to say before we even get off, is that we had a great coaching staff. And, you know, everybody talks about Saban's coaching staff and all, each year he has a good coaching staff. We had a very good coaching staff. And, you know, all our coaches were motivators. They were team-oriented players. Even with Coach McDuffie, I used to love Coach McDuffie. He coached Hugh and the offensive line hard. But one good thing about Coach McDuffie is that if you put out, he was going to give you some praise. But if you didn't do nothing, he wouldn't speak to you. He wouldn't talk to you. He would be just like, okay, I'm not even going to deal with this guy. But just the intensity of what Coach McDuffie, God bless his soul, and Coach Casey, those guys, those kind of guys, the Bill Lewis, it was all one thing they had. The common denominator was that they were intense and they were passionate and you were going to be prepared.
Hugh, a couple of things. I know you would agree with me on that with Coach Russell that I think it had been, which would have been here at Georgia, he would have been remembered as Bear Bryant, Newt Rockne. And then number two, that Dale brought up that great coaching staff, and especially for so many former great Georgia players who were coaches on that team. I'm sure I'm going to leave somebody out, but John Casey, Cavan, Charlie Whittemore, Steve Greer, Joe Tereshinsky. I mean, for those guys who had played as well, good gosh, it had to be extra special.
No, it was. And Dale is 100% right. When he said that a minute ago, I thought back on all the staffs I coached on, and I agree. That might have been, you know, in my opinion, the greatest staff there ever was because of the intensity, as Dale said, but the, you know, how smart they were. I remember you talked about a little bit before about Bill Lewis. But I remember seeing y'all's he'd give y'all, you know, notes, pregame notes, each week, Dale, and it just, it, hell, it'd almost be like a book, you know, it'd be so thorough and so complete, and, you know, that always intrigued me, not, you know, looking at that, but, you know, you're right, Jeff, that the guys who were on there, even, I think Rusty Russell was on that staff that year as well as a, I don't know if he was full-time, but he was involved, and Coach Cavan, you know, just did such a great job. Charlie Whittemore, Chip Wisdom. Let's see. I don't know if Chip was there that year when he.
Yes, yes.
But anyway, it was a great group of guys. And, of course, John Casey. You know, Casey doesn't get enough credit, in my opinion, because he kept everybody from going crazy playing for McDuffie. And then he was just a great, great, great leader in the weight room. I mean, that when he took over the weight program and training program, I mean, he talked about demanded, you know, full speed all year long, not just during the season.
What was the story? I don't know if you two guys were there. I think Chris Welton and Scott Werner told me that he said one day it was going into a weekend, probably in the spring. Hey, I'm only going to have y'all for about 15 minutes today. And a couple of guys started smiling. I was, oh, hell, guys, I could cripple the Russian army in 15 minutes.
I don't remember that one, but Casey was famous for his little sayings, you know, and motivational little talks.
All right, we need to run into a timeout. We'll come back and put the finishing touches on this. It's been a great show today. I can't thank you, Nall, and Dale Williams enough. It's 40 for 80, the sweetest season here on the Georgia Bulldog Sports Network.
From the farmer's field that produces your food to the football field where your home team plays, Georgia Farm Bureau is committed to helping Georgia communities thrive. Georgia Farm Bureau provides peace of mind to families through home, auto, and life insurance with affordable coverage and fast claim services. By insuring with Georgia Farm Bureau, you're making an investment in Georgia agriculture, Georgia farmers, and Georgia families. With more than 150 offices in the state, Georgia Farm Bureau is always the home team.
Welcome back to 40 for 80, the sweetest season. Time flies when you're having fun, and nothing like revisiting the victory over the enemy as the greatest Bulldog ever. Dan McGill always called him 38-20 over Tech to go 11-0. Gentlemen, Dale, I'll start with you on this one. We're 11-0. We've beaten Tech. Holy smokes, we're sitting on top of the world. By the way, Notre Dame had a game that next week at USC. but we know we're playing Notre Dame. Are you even thinking about them yet? Is it a combination of the two, or are you soaking it in? Is it relief? Is it joy? Is there still excitement and nerves looking ahead? Is it a combination of everything? Dale, take me through it.
I mean, really, after this game, you know we're going to play Notre Dame, and the Sugar Bowl piece comes official. You know, we're kind of like we were in a celebratory mode in the sense that, okay, we know we're going to New Orleans. We're making plans for New Orleans. We wanted to know when we were going to get our tickets. I did anyway. So we were ready to go for it, just having a great season, staying safe. I mean, really, just the whole atmosphere and the environment on campus was just great. Everybody was just really just happy and elated that we had an 11-0 season and we had played good. You know, the Herschel Walker buzz was going around, but at the same time, we were ranked number one in the country. So really, that was really, and I don't care what has gone on here in the past, but during that time, those were the best times ever at the University of Georgia.
Hugh, how about for you? After the win, there had to be just such joy, and then knowing what laid ahead for us. So kind of take us through where your head was that night, enjoying the victory, the season, and certainly anticipating the opportunity that was to come.
The celebration was pretty special. And we, you know, that team, that's one thing about that team I could say, they knew how to celebrate. They knew when to celebrate. And we did. We enjoyed that. And as Coach Russell used to say, there's nothing like being Bulldog on Saturday night after a victory. And that was enjoyed that night. And then, like I said, we had a little time off. That was another thing I thought Coach Dooley did a great job with, you know, after that, of giving us a little time off. And then when we got down to New Orleans, you know, handling that right. But it was it's just you had a chance to let it soak in that you are undefeated. And it was a great time, and really enjoyed the time that we had before we started the bowl preparation.
Dale, as we wind things down here, I'd like to give you just an opportunity. So many great Georgia fans who have so many memories of that 80 team are listening to this, and some young Georgia fans who weren't around for it. I was 8 years old when it happened. Just so you could give us some final thoughts on this incredible win over Tech and that special season. And what a great, great group of guys and teammates you were.
Well, I think really I just want to be able to put most of the emphasis on that entire season, you know, going 11-0. Because we, you know, and Hugh can attest to this, we were trained to beat Georgia Tech. You know, that was just something that, you know, we just got to finish the deal. But when I look back over those years, those 40 years, and just think about really the national championship team, the guys, the chemistry, the senior leadership, the coaches, really just the excitement. I mean, really, all that comes apart, but really, it is, you know, and it's taken me this long because I just took it for granted that Georgia would win several more national championships when we left. But really, I look back now and just say, hey, we really had a special team. I mean, we really had a special team, and we came together, we worked hard, we were intense about everything that we did. We had great expectations, we had great leadership, we had the coaches. I think when I look back on that year right there, it's just great, great accomplishment, especially now in the midst of everything that's going on with Georgia now and them not having won a national championship since we've been there. Oh, man, it just warms my heart to just kind of look back, even when our players, the players, my teammates, the ones that are here and still have gone on to heaven. It makes me happy that I was on that national championship team and it was a special group of guys.
Hugh, certainly that senior group, you guys were the heart and soul of this team. So for you, my friend, just some last words for the Georgia faithful listening in on this day, on this season, and everything about this 1980 team and an incredible group of men.
No, you're right. It was a great group of guys. And we talked about before we came in and first year was Coach Dooley's only losing season. And then to fight through what we, you know, like 78 was a good year and 79 was a bad year. And then to top it off like this, but, you know, the one thing I can say, you know, is nothing like if you live in the state of Georgia and you know, want to be, you know, in the state of Georgia, and you got an opportunity to go to the University of Georgia, whether it's a student athlete, you know, whatever it might be. There's just nothing like it. The great atmosphere up there continues. I'm still convinced a national championship is coming soon. I like the way Kirby's, coaches and gets after them. But, there's just nothing like the University of Georgia, in my opinion.
I agree. As I've always said, that the only thing I've loved longer in my life is my parents. And hopefully that national championship will be coming again very soon. And, gentlemen, I want to thank both of you for being with us again today. And thank you for all you've done. Dale, I certainly appreciate it. Hugh, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeff.
Jeff, thank you. Once again, as I say, appreciate what you do for, Georgia athletics. You're the best.
Well, thank you so much. That means more than you'll ever know. Hugh Nall and Dale Williams. Next week, we revisit Georgia's 17-10 Sugar Bowl victory over Notre Dame that clinched the national championship. But for now, the chapel bell is ringing loud and proud as top-ranked SEC champion Georgia has wrapped up a perfect 11-0 regular season with a 38-20 victory over Tech. Thanks so much for listening to Episode 11, 40 for 80, the sweetest season, here on the Georgia Bulldog Sports Network.
The 40 for 80 podcast is presented by Georgia Farm Bureau, always the home team. Join us next time to hear more about Georgia's magical run to the 1980 National Championship.